Thank you very much. Welcome again. BFSI sector now, AI and BFSI sector, I'll say, because the last chapter we discussed about artificial intelligence, and today we are going to do in this chapter about BFSI industry, and then we will be able to integrate AI into BFSI. I hope you can recollect about artificial intelligence, the overview which we just now shared in chapter 1. So let's begin and understand about BFSI sector or industry and overview. Welcome. So what exactly is BFSI? BFSI stands for Banking, Financial Services and Insurance Sector or Insurance Industry. So Indian financial sector, because we all deal with our banks, we deal with insurance companies, we deal with asset management companies, non-banking financial companies. We want to open an account, we want to invest, we want to buy insurance, I want to take a loan, I have my credit card. Everything, if you see, involves monetary aspects. We are dealing with this sector called as a BFS sector. So Indian financial sector comprise of commercial banks, insurance companies, non-banking financial companies, cooperative societies, cooperative banks, pension funds when it comes to retirement, mutual funds when it comes to investment, and other small entities is highly basically a very, very big, important sector for Indian's economy, not only India's economy, for the world economy. And today, IT spending or IT spending by this BFSI sector is the maximum. IT industry is dependent highly on BFSI sector. So we must have a good understanding about BFSI, and then we will try to link AI into BFSI sector. How AI can make this sector strong, can help this sector grow, prosper, growth, and how BFSI also will help AI to grow, because BFSI contains so much of data, whether it's customers or whether it's our own data in terms of our accounts, in terms of our transactions which we do when it comes to money matters. So it's basically a very, very, I'll say, diversified and a very, very big sector, and also a very, very important sector for the economy of the country and also for our own economy. So banking sector is the predominant player in the Indian financial services, with commercial banks accounting for over 64% of the total assets held by the Indian financial system as on date. So banks play a very, very important key role when it comes to Indian finances. But yes, other sectors like mutual funds, if you see globally, mutual funds too has got a major contribution to this sector, unlike India. But yes, as we are developing economically, you will find that other sectors in comparison to banking will also go a tremendous growth, and how AI, artificial intelligence, will help all these different sectors in the Indian financial sector grow, we will try to understand over here and the next coming chapters. So you will find some other aspects like credit guarantee fund scheme for micro, small and medium enterprises, setting up micro units development and refinance and agency like Mudra to give loan to the ruler, to ruler India or the Bharat. The banking guidelines regarding collateral requirement among many steps taken by Government of India and Reserve Bank of India to liberalize financial sector and ease of credit to this sector, because this sector, micro, small, medium enterprises, basically that's what India or Bharat, if we can provide financial support in terms of credit, in terms of what basically the word we are using, nowadays very often is talking about financial inclusion, which has already taken a really, really big step in the last few years. Still a long way to go. If everybody in India, if they are financially into the system, into our Indian financial sector, into our economy, then we can grow much, much faster as compared to the paths. We talk about GDP growth. GDP's growth is all about people getting into the system. That's what basically financial inclusion is really, really important. And typically for this sector to grow, we want that every financial unit, whether it's banks or whether it's a other institution, they must reach to the remote corners of India. So this is one such credit guarantee fund scheme which government basically want to provide credit to everybody, to the rural part of India. Mutual funds, asset under management, how much assets they are currently holding has shown a remarkable growth. If you see the track record of last 30, 40 years, few decades, and typically the last decade, the asset management of Indian mutual fund industry has grown from 8 trillion to around 46 on October 31st, 2023. As on that, it's touching or even crossed 50 lakh crore. But it's not a very, very big number vis-a-vis global mutual fund industry, a mutual fund in the global sphere. We have just begun. Our mutual fund vis-a-vis banking is still 20-25%, whereas in the world market, the asset under management of mutual fund is more even with banks, typically like United States. So you will find that these numbers are very, very small. It looks big as on date because from 8 to around 40, 50, it's almost 5 times, but still a long way to go. The total number of folios people have invested, when they invest, they are given a folio number. The folios as on October 31st, 2000 stood at around 159 million, while the number of folios under equity hybrid solution oriented scheme stood at around 127.5 million. People now have understood, and with typically the younger generation, about the equity culture, how equity investment is basically helping them to grow their money much faster as compared to the traditional conventional way of investing. The young generation have understood it. All kind of an banking apps, mutual funds apps, the understanding about what basically mutual fund, with so much of media attention, like Association of Mutual Fund India giving our left and right ads about mutual funds. So it's just a beginning, and you will find that this sector is going to grow many folds. And again, I'll come back to how, if AI can do much, much better when it comes to giving us all the outputs which we are looking at from this industry. Another part of Indian financial sector, that's Indian insurance industry, is the fifth largest in the emerging market with annual growth of around 32-34%. If you see, still, if you compare, there are two aspects when you look at insurance industry. One is called as insurance penetration, the other is called as insurance density. Still is not that good as compared to the global aspects. So you will find that yes, we are doing, but still a long way to go. And of course, again, I'll come back to AI because that's what basically we have to get grip into while we are understanding about BFSI and AI. AI will certainly again give a flip to this sector also. Bombay Stock Exchange has set up a joint venture with Abix Inc., the BSC Abix Insurance Broking Private Limited, to build a robust insurance distribution network in the country through a new distribution exchange platform. If you go back, it was all about like people, agents going to clients or person or people and selling insurance or selling other financial instruments. Now with the IT revolution, now basically we can reach to more number of people, more number of clients through this system, and AI can certainly help. So what I want to say is that these small developments which has happened in the past and which is turning out to be a big development is going to increase this sector many folds. Structure of Indian financial sector, banking, insurance, mutual fund, gold loan companies, credit cards. So let us take banking, the first one, which is very, very important, the backbone, or I will say foundation of Indian financial sector, because RBI, Reserve Bank of India, the regulator, the central bank of banking sector is much, much more strong and reputed, trustworthy, even as compared to the other central banks across the world. So banking is one of the major pillars, components of BFSI industry, with rapid growth in digital modes of payments. You take, it started with the NEFTs and RTGS, and now we are basically into UPI. So conventional paper-based structures like checks, demand drafts, now constitute a negligible, even I'll say very, very small share in both volume and value of payments as compared to the past. Few decades back, it used to be all physical way of making payments, like writing a check, depositing a check. It will take 3, 4, 5, 6 days for a check to be cashed. Now it's in seconds. That's the thing which has happened, which digital mode of payment. And it's not only an urban phenomenon. Every nook and corner you can go, you have all seen, we are using UPIs, like when it comes to UPI, I mean to say Google Pay, Phone Pay, everywhere. When you go, you will find small payments, small payment to a vendor, small payment at a railway station to buy a tickets. We are using our mobile phones, our mobile apps, and transacting. So Indian banking system comprise of the following: central bank, scheduled commercial banks, cooperative banks, and financial institutions. So we'll little bit get into this area, that what basically banking system comprise of. We must have already doing something with our own banks, any public sector, private sector banks. So let us little go into detail. Now central bank is the highest in pecking order of any national economy, holding regulatory powers. They, central bank means Reserve Bank of India. They regulate the banking sector. They have the power, they design all the policies, and all banking, the entire banking sector has to adhere. For what? RBI or any regulator basically are for the benefit of all of us, benefit for the clients or the consumers. So central bank authorizes the flow of currency, how much currency should get into, what kind of a money supply, reducing or increasing the same to keep inflation in check. If you find inflation is more, this means people have more money, liquidity is more. What they will do, they will take out the money from the economy back. So if money flow is less, what will happen? Less money floating, people will take less loans, and the inflation will come down. And then again reverse. When people are not taking loans, the growth will be hit. To enhance the growth, what they will do? They will increase the money supply. Second, they look at is, they do is about interest rate changes. Either they will increase the interest rate when the inflation is high, and they reduce the interest rate when the inflation is low, growth is in hit. Currently, we are already experienced a decrease during COVID times, and post COVID, after the decrease, a increase in interest rate. Now we are expecting in this year of 2024, there will be a decrease in the interest rate. So it's cyclic. So you must understand about interest rate cycle, about inflation cycle, about GDP growth. It is very, very important when you are into BFSI sector. So only central banks of a country has the power to print paper currency of a nation. In India, the Reserve of India is designated as a central bank of the country, which I have highlighted. So scheduled commercial bank, there are two things. There are, one is called as scheduled commercial banks, and the second is unscheduled commercial banks. Predominantly, there are scheduled commercial banks. So public sector banks, government banks, after the merger of banks in 2020, India currently has 12 public sector banks. They merged. If you look into the history of banking, first, before or around independence, I'm talking about 50s, 60s, banks were private. Then in 70s, they were merged. More government sector banks, public sector banks, we call it. Then in 90s, with liberalization, globalization, opening of the economy, again the privatization start. Today, again, you will find quite number of private sector banks. They are doing as good, they are as important as public sector banks are. So private sector banks in India, India has around 21 banks in the private sector as of this writing. HDFC Bank, ICICI Bank, Indus Bank, these banks all are private sector banks. And they are fundamentally very important, like RBI is mentioned in some of the media interactions, that State Bank of India, HDFC Bank, ICICI Bank, they are the strong fundamental banks, very, very, very important banks for the Indian economy. Then there are smaller local area banks. These are the two local area banks catering to local markets, coastal local area bank and Krishna Bhima Samardhi Local Area Bank Limited. Small financial banks, nowadays you must have heard about. Why all these like different kind of banks are coming? Again, the objective of India Finance Ministry or Reserve Bank of India is financial inclusion. That bank must reach to the remote corners of the country. If not bank, this financial sector must reach. It is not an urban phenomena at all. With the opening of Jan Dhan account, with the opening of Aadhaar based many transactions we can do, it has already reached. So small financial banks, what else? Payment banks, they are being used. Again, their objective was to reach to the remote corners of India. Except what they can do, except for issuing loans and credit cards to the customers. Payment banks accept restricted deposit from the customer. They can limit their exposure to how much deposit they can take. Their portfolio of services include debit, ATM cards, current saving account, and offer mobile banking and financial services to the customer. Examples of payment banks, you will find Airtel payment banks, Jio payment banks. So there are 6 payment banks in India as on date. So public sector banks, private sector banks, small banks, foreign banks now. Banks headquartered outside India. These foreign banks accelerate the dealings international transaction along with increasing the employment scope in the banking sector. Must have heard about Standard Chartered. And they want, because India is now the talk of the globe when it comes to GDP growth. And growth cannot come if you do not have a strong, fundamentally powerful banking sector or in financial sector. So every foreign bank is want basically to get into India. So currently, as on writing, you will find there are 45 foreign banks in India. Like I just mentioned, Standard Chartered, HSBC. You must have seen, or maybe few of them you may be having your accounts with these foreign banks. RRBs, these are called as regional rural banks. So there are 43 regional rural banks in India today, and their primary objective is to serve the rural region, the part of India which is not being included into finance. When I'm talking about earlier decades, not now, but they are reaching to everybody in that remote corner to reach, basically, so that they get everything which is possible when it comes to credit, when it comes to finance, when it comes to banking. They are a part of India and they should be brought into the mainstream when it comes to financial aspects. Cooperative banks, now their objective is to promote social welfare. Hence, the schemes are targeted towards underprivileged or financially unserviced sections of the society. Although they welcome business from all socio-economic sections, the incoming capital is utilized to grant loans to the working class, such as agriculturists. This class, rural India, the rural people, the farmers with low income, in earlier years or decades, for them getting a loan, getting a credit was very, very difficult. They used to go the local merchants or local people to take credit, to take loan, and they used to charge a very, very high interest. That has been overcome by financial inclusion, by banking sector reaching to the remote corner of the India. What else? Cooperative banks, I already have discussed. There are state cooperative banks, largest division of central cooperative bank operating at the state level. Primary credit society, called as PCS. It refers to an institution with the ability to disperse loan at a small regional level, such as a village. Ultimately, basically what they are looking at, that we should helping this part of India, which was not part of the financial sector, to get into the financial stream. That is what is financial inclusion. So all these banks, typically regional rural banks, cooperative banks, they are doing a great job when it comes to financial inclusion. District cooperative banks, these banks operate at a district level in India. They bridge the link between SCBs and PCS. Urban cooperative banks, they have branches in urban and semi-urban centers and cater to mainly small businesses. India has around 49 scheduled and around 1,443 unscheduled urban cooperative banks. So Indian banking system, specialized financial institutions. There are four specialized financial institutions in India. National Bank of Agriculture and Rural Development, we call them NABARD. The objective of NABARD is to provide financial help to the agriculture sector of India. You know, India is an agro economy. The agriculture plays a very, very important role in India's GDP. 70% people of India, they depend for their earnings on agriculture. And agriculture, if they do well, of course, we are now into services, we are into manufacturing, but still, as on date, agriculture plays a very, very important role. So if agriculturists, they get the proper support from the banking sector, from the Indian financial sector, in terms of credit, in terms of loan, in terms of their investment deposits, then they will be part of the system, which will certainly will give a flip to the GDP. Small Industries Development Bank, we call them SIDBI. Business operating in small scale industries can get easy loan on easy terms through SIDBI. Industry is all about capital. Some of the industries are very capital intensive. Many rural population of India, they have the idea, they have that zeal, the passion to do something. What they were lacking was capital, money. If that can be provided by the Indian financial sector, then they can turn around the story of India. That's what these specialized institutions are doing. Export, Import Bank of India, Exim Bank, it assists the export and import sector of India. National Housing Bank, which is called as NHB, as the name suggests, it provides finance for housing sector. Now this sector is really, really very, very key for the economy. And everybody, all of us want a roof on our head. Everybody want a house, which was not there. There were a lot of issues when it comes to India, when it goes to rural India. No pakka concrete houses, but things have changed in the last decade with affordable housing. Now loans are provided at subsidized rates by the banking sector to this part of the country. They can also live in pakka kind of an houses. So this sector, not only rural India, even National Housing Bank, they do provide. And when it comes to housing, housing not only help to build houses, housing involves so many things. When you build a house, you need cement, you need steel, you need iron. Then you need a lot of things to basically give a good touch, finishing touch, tiles, tabs, wires, fans. So much is involved when it comes to housing, or I'll say real estate. Housing doesn't mean really residential, commercial aspect also. So if this sector do well, then other sectors, they are integrated, linked with this sector, they will also do good. If they do good, certainly the economy will do good. So any country, if the housing sector is doing good, it speaks volumes about. So what we are doing in this chapter is little bit more detail about BFSI. Because if you all understand this sector, then you have already, I hope, understood about AI utility. And in the coming chapters, what we are going to do, we are going to link both of them and understand how AI can further help this sector to grow and reach to everybody much, much more effectively. So this is the structure of Indian banking system at a glance. I just shared with you, these are scheduled commercial banks. Numbers, we have talked a little bit about all these banks. Then you have got cooperative banks, and there somewhere got a financial institutions. This is all under basically Reserve Bank of India, the central bank, the banking regulator of India. So India financial sector, the sector consists of banks, already we have covered. Then capital market, your equity market, your debt market, when it comes to bonds, these are all are basically capital market. And this market again is very important for the growth of the country. And now we are picking up. The equity culture is coming. People are moving out of that traditional way of doing like investment from banks and post office to mutual funds and direct equity, DMAT accounts. This is a remarkable change after COVID, and I still a long way to go. So insurance, again I said, it's highly underpenetrated. Non-banking financial companies, where bank cannot reach, they have done a great job of non-banking financial companies. Take example of Bajaj. So basically what they all have done, they're part of the Indian financial services structure. So Indian mutual fund segment is equivalent to approximately 1/10 of the country's GDP. And I just mentioned few slides back, it's very, very small still, looks big, but it's very small when it comes to the global market. So this sector, I hopefully, is going to turn around in the coming decades. Digital payment, another area which we have really done very good in the last past decade, is surpassing 10 trillion mark by 2030. And already you all know what basically UPI done to Indian digital payments, not only in India, across the world. Every country is looking at UPI in their own respective countries. So advanced in telecommunication technology, rapidly expanding mobile phone penetration, their rollout of Aadhaar card, the United Payment Interface, the UPI, Unified Payment Interface, and the financial inclusion program, Jan Dhan, are crucial to the future development of Indian financial sector. And already we have done very, very good. You can see our mobile penetration is very good, very high, with the good amount of networking, good amount of internet facilities available. We all know how effective this mobile is in every part of our life. When it comes to financial transactions, it has played a very, very important role. No need of going to the bank. I can transact everything. Bank is in my pocket. Aadhaar card, it gives us a good way of identity. Plus, we can do all transactions by giving our details of Aadhaar card. Then UPI, all of you know about it. Jam Trinity, Jan Dhan, Aadhaar and mobile. It has really changed the dynamics of India, our Indian people, our Indian economy. Now all of us have Aadhaar card. We can do any transaction just by giving Aadhaar card and getting it OTP on our mobile phone, and the transaction is done. Jan Dhan accounts are being opened for the rural part of country. With their Jan Dhan account, they are now part of Indian financial sector. Earlier, they were not. So this all have added, given strength and helping this Indian financial sector to further take growth.